From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's Wednesday, May 7th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna cheese, howa, toyoksuk nusum, salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us behind the scenes for our live stream here in the studio at ktoo.org/JPM Live. That'll take you to the YouTube and or on Facebook and Instagram. Today, the Brain Reboot class is back. If you have experienced a brain injury or are caring for someone who has, this class may be for you. We have a preview of the Southeast Alaska Independent Living Outdoor Summer Activities, plus a special cruise this Saturday in honor of the 35th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And need a gift for Mother's Day? Well, the Superplant sale is the day before. It's on this Saturday. We'll get a preview of this with folks from the Juno Community Garden. Those conversations and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from Tlingit Ani in the homelands of the Occoquan. The specific area where our building sits is the ancestral home of the Klenedi, or Dog Salmon people, of the Occoquan. We acknowledge those families of the Klenedi who made use of this land and waterway for thousands of years and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Gunath Cheesh. Just a quick announcement before we begin. Tonight, you can head over to the Douglas West Juno Open House. It's from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Saik Gastineau School Commons. You can join the Downtown Douglas West Juno Steering Committee to review the draft area plan and provide feedback on the vision, goals, and actions that will guide future growth and development while maintaining the community's unique characteristics. Those who love Douglas love Douglas, which is where I live, so I love it too. That's tonight, May 7th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Saik Gastineau School Commons.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kushtuk-U Bill Fawcett, and the word this week is hicht.
Hicht.
That means frog. And here's a sentence. There are very many frogs. Let's hear it again.
Hicht.
Frog. Gunas cheesh to Chene Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kushtuk o ish Bill Fawcett was Slukach Adi and the child of a Southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Occoquan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
You
You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. Also, live streaming behind the scenes here in the studio on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Gonna cheese. On Monday, May 12th, a Brain Reboot Life with a Brain Injury class returns. It's a multi-week course for those living with or caring for someone with a brain injury. And I am joined now by Kimberly Sumner from Southeast Alaska Independent Living, as well as her colleague, Bridget Thompson. Gunath Chi, Shatye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio this afternoon. Wasiti, how you doing?
Ganajish Boston. I'm doing really well. I'm excited about the next 6 weeks in the class, but I'm doing great.
Awesome. And how are you, Bridget?
Doing well.
Welcome
doing
back.
Well. Thank you.
You were here recently, I think. Okay, so Kimberly, let me start with you because we have this awesome class. Scoot up just a little bit to that microphone. Yeah, good. So this is called Brain Reboot, Life with a Brain Injury. It is from Southeast Alaska Independent Living, a.k.a. SAIL, as we like to call it. So this is another iteration of this class because this was offered, I think, last year, right?
It was. It happened to be offered in the beginning of the year. So just in January, we did 6 weeks. And I took a little bit of break, read the feedback, and tweaked it a little bit according to what people said they wanted more of or less of. And this is why the second session of classes
is
going.
So tell us about what is this Brain Reboot, Life with a Brain Injury class? What is it?
Ultimately, it's a peer support model class, and it's for 6 weeks, and it's information-based. Every Monday is going to be a different subject. For instance, I do art therapy, so two of those weeks are going to be art therapy-based around healthy relationships with yourself while you're healing with your traumatic or acquired brain injury. And we have search physical and speech therapists coming out. We have Orca that's going to be a part of it this time, that's going to do outdoor recreation activities. We're going to try out all of the cool equipment that Orca has. But basically, it's a place, a hub, for anybody who has a traumatic or acquired brain injury, caregivers, loved ones, friends, or just a person wanting to know more about that. I can get together and a centralized location to get those resources.
Okay. And what is a traumatic or acquired brain injury?
Good question. A traumatic brain injury is anything that's blunt force trauma to the brain. So you're thinking about car accidents, domestic violence, hit to the head. You're thinking slips on the ice, snow machine, anything that you hit your head, blunt force trauma.
Okay.
An acquired brain injury can be a stroke, cancer, anything that's internalized that's going on in your brain that you can't see that developed damage.
I see. Okay. So, and Bridget, how are you involved in this course? Are you helping to teach?
You know, I am just supporting Kim in a couple different ways, but Kim's been really running with it as the TABI coordinator and has aligned all these different speakers. And
what's a TABI coordinator?
Oh, it's we use acronyms for everything at SAIL. And so it's the Traumatic and Acquired Brain Injury TABI. And we summarize it as TABI. To add to our acronym list. So she's the TABI coordinator. So she runs the Traumatic and Acquired Brain Injury Program throughout Southeast Alaska.
I see.
And so she's coordinated this whole course, which has been awesome.
And what do you do at SAIL?
I am the HR and Operations Director.
HR and Operations Director, mm-hmm. Right. Do you shorten that too?
No, but we should.
HR
Ops, maybe. I don't know. We'd have
operations to figure. Operations Manager, did you say? Or Director?
Yeah. Yeah.
Director. Hurrah.
She's here to make sure I don't say anything wrong as HR manager. She's like giving me a check.
Right.
Not
right.
at all.
No. That's all good. How did this idea of creating the Brain Reboot course come about? Because it seems like you're going to continue doing it. So where did the initial thought or impulse to create this course come from?
That's twofold. One, I've had 7 brain surgeries and radiation. And my last one was 2 years ago, and I'm healthy. But during that time, I didn't know where I could get any resources. I was sort of going about it by myself. I mean, I have friends that really care about me, but I don't have a biological family other than my daughter. And I was just sort of, I felt lost. I didn't know how to get the support, not only just from resources in the community, but peer-based. I didn't know of anyone that had had brain surgery before. And then I noticed that the peer support model started falling off because of COVID, maybe. It was all over Zoom. And then even that, people aren't really attending classes. I did a statistic or research, and it says people want peer support, but people weren't coming to peer support. So I thought, how could I switch it up a little bit, give a little pizzazz? And I came up with a cohort class where people are getting resources in a peer support model, but also gaining, hopefully, friendships and new community. And I put all that together. It had never been done before in any other state. I think the state of Ohio, who is leading research brain experts, had something similar, but not really, and I didn't have anything to reference. So I just started from the ground up. And for the past 6 months, 8 months, I've been doing a lot of research and, you know, really doing a lot of talking about it, just getting the word out. And I realize people really want to come to class. They really want support. They want community. And this is how it all came about.
That's awesome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the really cool part about SAIL as a whole, and this is an example of that, is that we're a community-driven program organization. So that means that a lot of the things that we try to tailor to come from community. Like we'll get requests for a peer support group for parents of people who have autism, or just these different requests will come through. And it's our job at SAIL to support people with disabilities, and especially at SAIL too, we over 51% of the people at our organization identify as having a disability. And so we're an organization run by people with disabilities to support people with disabilities. And so a lot of it's peer support. Like, you know, like we have this, like our organization is a peer support model. And so that is like a huge part of it. And it's really community driven. Like we see comments on Juno Community Collective sometimes, and that stirs up a conversation about maybe a community need. And so that, you know, is a huge component of why some of these things, like why some of our programs exist. Brain Reboot being one of them.
Wow, so, that's awesome. Yeah. And Kimberly, 7?
Yeah, I mean, 7's a lucky number, right? So I'm done.
And when I'm imagining that, like, after your first time, that is that where you found the initial struggle with finding resources, or was it over time that that sort of accumulated in terms of like just not seeing where you would be able to go? Like, how difficult was it for you to find things?
It was extremely difficult. So I had an AVM brain stroke, which means my brain veins look like a row mac, but they intertwined, and so it ruptured. And so it was a brain bleed, and most people don't survive a brain bleed. 2 years later, I had another one.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, that was a lot of stress. And from day one, from the time I got home, I was medevaced to Anchorage. And so when I came back home and needing resources and just community from day one, I couldn't find anything. I didn't find resources, not only for my healing, but, you know, other than therapy, which is really expensive in Juneau, I didn't feel like I had anyone to talk to. Or someone with lived experience. And so that's a great thing about SAIL, is that they celebrate the fact that I've had these experiences and that I've overcome so much. And I have a disability. So with that, it affected my peripheral vision a little bit and my depth perception, which just means I'm a little clumsy. I run into door frames or trip over things, which most people do.
Yes.
But I'm really lucky because most people, like I said, don't survive one brain bleed, and I actually survived two.
Wow.
And so at the end, they were saying they were either going to take the bundle of veins out, which was going to leave me with no peripheral vision or no depth perception, or they were going to try radiation and see if they could actually pinpoint the veins. And that worked. It killed off the veins that were endangered or rupture again, because each time it did, my chances of surviving would go down 25%, which that's a lot. But you think about 1 year, 25%, 2 years, then it's 50%. So we tried the radiation route. So from day one, I didn't feel supported. I didn't know. And I'm sure there was support out there. I just didn't know how to get to those support systems.
I see.
And so this way, it's centralized.
Yeah. So this course starts on Monday, the 12th of May. It runs for 6 weeks. It's confidential. And how do people get information about registration? I know there's a QR code on the stream. And thank you for those pointing out that the stream didn't have any audio. I think it's fixed now. Appreciate that. There's a QR code on the poster there that people can go to, and that takes you to a registration form, right?
Correct.
Is there another place people can find out more about this particular course or what's going to happen in each of the weeks?
Yeah, so they can call me directly. They can go onto our website. All the information is on our website. But the posters are everywhere. But if they feel more comfortable and maybe not using a QR code for whatever reason, they can call Sale directly, get to my line, and I'll be more than happy to either walk them through the process or I can register them themselves.
And what's Sale's phone number?
So it's 888-847-0979 is my direct line.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. Is it 487?
It is.
Okay, 487. So 888-487-0979 is your phone number. Your email is also listed on this flyer here, so it's pretty public. K. Sumner. And the website, of course, is saleinc.org. So what kind of life hacks are we learning here? Because this isn't just for folks who are experiencing the brain injury. This is for folks who are also caring for them as well, right, to help them get some resources or tips, right? So, but a life hack. Give us a life hack. I'm just curious what one would be.
That could either be how to set your phone for different alarms, because memory problems often go with brain injuries. Mm. It could also be a dimmer switch on your lights.
Oh, that's good.
Because migraines go along with a traumatic or acquired brain injury. I can point them to different YouTube, yoga sort of therapy, physical therapy, just to get your body moving, especially in the beginning. Mm. You may not be able to go for long walks, but there's lots of stretches you can do. From that to we have bottle openers. We're an independent living facility, so really it's about getting the person with a disability learning how to live again independently. And they may have a caretaker or a care provider with them, but it's getting them to become independent again. And that builds confidence and strength, and that takes you a long way. When you have a disability and you realize you can do certain things on your own, and you didn't think you could ever do that again, that matters. So we can do things like that.
What's your favorite life hack, Kimberly? What's the best thing that you use in your own life, do you think?
This is going to sound kind of boring, but I have to keep notes on everything. So I have Post-its everywhere. Mm. And so for me, and alarms. I may have a meeting at 2:00. I want to set that alarm in the morning or a reminder alert, because if not, I'm going to forget about it by 2:00. And then I'm going to look at my calendar and go, oh no. Oh no, I forgot that. So for me, it's a lot of reminders, and I was embarrassed about it in the beginning, but I'm not so much anymore.
Yeah, there's no reason to be. I need reminders all the time, because otherwise I don't know what would happen to me, that's for sure.
And I think the coolest part is everybody at this, especially with peer support, everybody gets to share their own hack. Somebody's hack might be totally different.
What's your favorite life hack, Bridget?
Oh my gosh. I also have a hard time. I do a ton of – I actually just discovered, and it wasn't a discovery for me because somebody pointed me to it, this reminders app on my iPhone. Now this thing pops up. You can put your to-do list in there, and it pops up at the time that you need to – send it to somebody.
Oh, nice.
Sometimes it'll be, late at night, and I'm like, oh, I got to really do that tomorrow morning. I need to put my check in the mail, and I like will type it in my phone, and then at 8 o'clock in the morning I get a little reminder that says don't forget to put the put your check in the mail. But yeah, it's awesome, and there's like so many different avenues to share, and I think the cool part is that everybody comes with their own experience, and so like different hacks come from different experiences. And the one thing I will add too, just before I think we start to wrap up, is it's a totally free course.
That's what I was going to ask, is what's the charge?
Yeah.
There is no charge.
There's no charge. It's just come as you are, and you like listen to some of the like awesome speakers that are lined up. Share your experience with other people that identify as having a traumatic or acquired brain injury, or somebody that you love, and just to be in community with one another.
Yeah, it's fantastic that it's happening again, and will hopefully continue to happen as it goes. I'm sure you'll have returning members of the cohort. Space is limited, it says on the flyer, too. So you do want to get registered. Again, it starts on Monday, May 12th. It runs through June 16th, and I'm imagining it goes every Monday through there, except is it going through Memorial Day, too?
So on the flyer, it says till the 16th, but I messed up. I own it. It's actually going to go through the 23rd because we are taking the holiday off.
Because you will take the Memorial Day off. Yeah. So it goes through the 23rd. Okay, that's great. So, and of course, you can find out more information at sailinc.org, a fantastic program that's coming up for those who are experiencing or those who care for those with a brain injury. It's the Brain Reboot, Life with a Brain Injury. You're going to learn hacks. You're going to hear from guest speakers and guest presenters. And you're also going to be in community, which I think is one of the best things about it, right? It's just being able to share, know that you're not alone, feel like, oh, yeah, I do that too, or that happens to me as well. I really appreciate you both being here today. Kimberly Bridget from SAIL talking about the Brain Reboot course. Really appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Boston.
Thanks so much. Gonna cheese. Up next, we are going to hear from SAIL more. We're going to be talking about some summer activities as well as different things that are coming up, like this cruise that's happening on Saturday to celebrate the 35th anniversary of the American with Disabilities Act. But first, we're going to hear some old audio of David Sedaris. David Sedaris is coming to Juneau next Thursday, May 15th. It's a KTOO fundraiser. You can find out more at ktoo.org. This audio is from 1997 when he was interviewed on Fresh Air. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO.
What are some of the best gifts you ever got?
I got an electric typewriter, which really changed my life. I'd been using a manual typewriter forever. And then at the age of 32, my mother gave me an electric typewriter where you could correct things. You know, you could go up two lines and that word would be gone. And that was a present that really changed my life. Last year, I got a really nice taxidermied ostrich, a little baby ostrich. That was a nice gift.
Who gave that to you?
My sister Gretchen gave me a stuffed ostrich. It is just adorable. It's about a foot tall. I got a lot of taxidermy last year for Christmas, and that's always a good gift. Gosh, you know, I mean, I've never received like the title to a country home or anything like that. It's
maybe next year. But do you remember the worst gift you ever got?
The worst gift I ever got was probably a football helmet, which I had absolutely no use for whatsoever.
I can only imagine.
That's not even good for storing things.
Who gave it to you?
My father.
Was that wishful thinking on his part?
He went through a phase where all of the gifts that he gave me would hopefully wake me up to the world of sports. So maybe I would have asked for a discreet, you know, portable tape recorder so I could spy on people, and instead I would get a child-sized set of golf clubs, which the cat was the only person who would enjoy them. She would just shred the golf bag to bits, but she was more than welcome to them.
And what about you as a gift giver? Are you a careful and thoughtful gift giver?
I think I am. I always feel so bad. You know, when people say, well, I'm going to do my shopping on Christmas Eve, I feel bad for the people that they're giving gifts to, because you're not going to find anything on Christmas Eve. that kind of panic buying that people do.
Mm-hmm.
I love watching it, and I'll still go to the store on Christmas Eve just so I can see people that panic.
But do you really do that?
Yes, I have. I love, like, the same way I love going to the grocery store the night before Thanksgiving, and I'll just buy a head of lettuce, but I'm more than happy to stand in that line for 45 minutes just to see people at the breaking point. But I got most of my, I have a few things to buy, but for the most part, I finished my shopping by August.
Really? So you must always be thinking about potential gifts for people.
Well, I don't think about it in February, but I think about it by March.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to shop, and this gives me a reason to do so.
David Sedaris recorded in 1997.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
From KTOO, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Wednesday, May 7th. Sunrise was at 4:48 this morning. We'll see sunset at 9:01 this evening, a total of 16 hours, 13 minutes, and 44 seconds of daylight today. That's a gain of 4 minutes and 34 seconds over yesterday. And taking a look back at this day in 1881, Juno was called Rockwell at that time, and a Navy commander documented that 150 white people and 450 Native people lived here in Rockwell, now known as Juno. And that's a look back at this day in 1881. This is KTOO.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us behind the scenes on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages, and the sound is working now. Thank you all for pointing that out. It's the 35th anniversary of the American with Disabilities Act, and this Saturday, SAIL is hosting a celebration wildlife cruise, but Shannon just told me it's sold out. But we have a lot of other things to talk about. Summer activities and opportunities abound. I am joined now by Shannon Hendricks, Juno Program Director for the Southeast Alaska Independent Living SAIL. It's a SAIL day on Juno Afternoon. Also Dylan Anthony, Outdoor Recreation Coordinator. And of course, a surprise guest, but a regular to the show on Juno Afternoon, Fubao is in the house.
Thank you, Boston. This is a big deal. I feel like we need to get a vote out about SAIL.
Of course we do, and I really appreciate you being here, Fubao. That's so nice. I'm Dylan Gunathchish Wasiti. How are you?
Doing well, yeah. Thanks for having us on.
Of course. And Shannon Wasiti, how are you today?
Doing good. Thanks for having us.
Excellent. So let's start with you, Shannon. We heard in the last segment, you know, that's what Southeast Alaska Independent Living does mostly. Let's just get to what's going on. Right?
Yeah.
So what's going on? What's happening in your world?
Yeah, we've got a lot of very fun, awesome things going on. One new thing that's coming up May 27th through the 30th is our first ever mapathon in Juneau. So there's this really awesome platform called Blue Path, which highlights different ways businesses are accessible. And that means they can have curb cuts, have handrails, and just showcase the different ways that our businesses have made their spaces accessible. So we have an event going on called the Mapathon, where we are going to have volunteers in the community do accessible assessments of businesses and upload that data onto this platform so people that take advantage of using these resources can have all that at the tip of their fingers for Blue Path.
Oh, that's cool. So remind me again, how will they access it?
Yeah. So Blue Path is a website.
Okay.
But the event we're having to get all the data to upload to the site is May 27th through the 30th.
Yeah.
We are in the process of creating pamphlets that will be posted around town. Then you can get more information on our website as well, which is saleinc.org.
Is Blue Path like an app I can get on my phone too, or do I have to go to the website?
It's coming soon to app, but website for now.
That's cool though.
Yeah.
And it basically it will sort of be kind of a map of Juneau as we – it's sort of going to be like user populated, right? Because it'll be pointing out all the different areas where things are or aren't.
Exactly.
That are helpful.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. That's awesome. I know we have like an elevator in our building.
Yeah. Right? So that would be on the map.
That'd be on the map. But we don't have a button to get the door open.
That's a problem.
So we need to upgrade, right? That's we got to upgrade because you can use the elevator, but if you can't get in the door, then, you know, if you're in a wheelchair or something, how do you do? I only realized that when I broke my leg and I was trying to get in and out of the building and I was like, wait a minute, how do I, and then it made me, you know, because that's the thing, we're blind to it sometimes. The able-bodied folks may not even see where those areas are that need assistance, right? But on these days, maybe we can all pitch in and sort of look at it, right? Just be mindful of that for those days especially.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And so when we have the pamphlet or how will it work? Will I go to Blue Path and enter the data, or will you be collecting the data? How is that going to work?
So that's going to come through Sale.
Okay.
And then Sale will upload all the data to Blue Path.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So, and of course, I'm sure you can find out information on saleinc.org about this project.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
A really great place to go. You all just do so much. How is that possible that you do so much?
We've got a really awesome staff. It's a team sport.
That's good. Awesome. And Dylan, you've got some stuff coming up. Well, you are part of the outdoor recreation situation, or ORCA as they call it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I work for the ORCA program, Outdoor Recreation and Community Access. Our most visible programs, if anybody skis up at Eagle Crest, we're up there every weekend doing the adaptive ski lessons. And we also operate the challenge course out the road. We have a variety of camps this summer that we're offering for high schoolers and middle schoolers. All of our camps are fully free for youth who experience disabilities. And we're going to be doing a lot of really fun activities outside. We're going to be kayaking, having a visit to the challenge course, which is a high ropes course, going on bike rides.
One second, Dylan. Fubao. Have you done the challenge course?
No, it sounds really interesting. How can people get involved with camps?
Well, that's a good question. Oh, he's taking over my job. Fubao.
Yeah. If you have somebody who's interested in joining our camps, you can sign up directly from our website. So saleinc.org, there's a little button on the home tab that will take you straight to a form to sign up.
Awesome. That's great. And what is the challenge course? It's a high rope course?
Yeah. So it's a high and low ropes course.
Okay.
And it's really a place for like team development, doing a lot of fun activities. A lot of people might have seen it and don't really know what it is, but it's out at Amalga Harbor near the Eagle Valley Center. If you go out on the trail towards Kayakers Beach, you might be like, what are all these telephone poles here for? And that's what we do. Yeah, and so we task people with challenging themselves with climbing up poles and doing a variety of activities.
That's amazing, because I know I couldn't even do it. I was one of those kids in gym that I could never do the climb the rope thing, you know, when your gym teacher would try to make you do that. I could never do that. It always made me mad that I couldn't do it. Also, is there some info on youth employment in the parks?
Well, we actually just finished hiring for that. And so, yeah, sorry to anyone looking for a job, but
tell me what that is.
So it's a really cool program. It's a collaboration with SAIL, the Zach Gordon Youth Center, and Trail Mix, where we have a crew of high schoolers working on the trails. And so, yeah, we have we're going to have two Trail Mix crew leaders with the crew this year. And it's just a really cool program where young people can have mentorship from working professionals.
Yeah. I see. Okay. And that program you're collaborating with, Trail Mix, which is cool, is it youth with disabilities that are part of that employment program?
Yeah. So it's a program for youth with disabilities. And it's really like we like to think of it as a first-time job opportunity for a lot of young people.
Okay.
It's a supported work environment where, if people need, a variety of support, like behavioral or emotional, or even if they need physical supports, like for a physical disability, we're there to help support it.
I see. Okay, that's really cool. And the information on summer camps, how many summer camps are there?
We're going to be doing three in particular.
Okay.
And they're going to be, we're going to have I'm stumbling right now. It's all on the website.
There's so many programs. As the program director, right, how do you manage all of these programs? And they just seem to grow. Like, there's so many, right?
Yeah. We have a really, really good staff and lean heavily on them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Fubao, what kind of programs at SAIL are you part of? I love that you wore your shirt. You got your SAIL shirt on.
I was ready for this last night. I was saying to myself, I need to fill my SAIL shirt.
I love that. You got to represent.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff have you been involved in at SAIL?
I feel like I want to make sure people understand. I feel like SAIL is such a good non-profit because it will include everybody, not only who has a disability, everybody is included.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And also, a lot of this stuff is no cost, right? Or most of it, yeah? Is there some of it that is cost?
Yeah, some of it is cost.
Yeah.
But Fubao is a pretty active participant with our online get-together.
Tell me about that.
Every Friday from 2:40 to 3:40, they have an online Zoom hangout. If you want to be part of it, how can people be part of it?
Yeah, if anyone's interested in joining any activities, you can reach out directly to SAIL at 1-800-478-7245. Sorry, that sounds like a fake number. Or just send us an email at info@sailinc.org and we can get you linked in.
But this is a weekly call that happens on Thursdays from 2:40 to 3:40?
No, 2:40 to 3:40.
Oh, 2:30 to 3:30. Okay.
Online.
Online, right. And you do it on a Zoom call.
Yes.
I see.
From people from Sika also have an email also from Sika.
Oh, so people can participate throughout Southeast.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Zoom call started during COVID for a way for people to connect,
Okay,
I feel like
sure.
For a lot of people, we're looking for community. And it's kind of stayed because it's like really important for some people to connect with the friends they made. It's a really great group. If you're just looking to meet people in the community who may be experiencing the same things you're experiencing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fubao has been an active participant in ORCA since he was in middle school, which is pretty amazing. And he's done a lot of activities. Would you want to talk about some of them?
I'm not mid-school, but I think I've been part of it since kindergarten. I have been down doing skiing, after skiing, what Jim was explaining.
Yeah.
And skiing up at Eagle Crest.
Yep.
And it was really fun to be known. How do you make it the W with the skis?
That's awesome. I've never even done that. I've never skied at Eagle Crest, so that's pretty cool. I love that.
And bicycling. We often go bicycling. Riding the bikes out at the Buffalo Hood Bridge Trail.
Oh yeah.
All good activities.
Yeah, so there's so many.
And also, I often do campouts. With Olga. Also, every year they do a youth mental campout.
Oh, nice.
In the winter time.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's fun. It's really, really fun.
Yeah, I bet. That sounds pretty cool. You get outdoors more than me, Fubao.
Yeah. Yes. And
I'm always stuck in here on the radio, I guess.
if people are interested to doing that activities, just don't be hesitant to just call Sarah and ask them how do you be on the email list.
See, great representative right there, Fubao. And unfortunately, Shannon, you said, I had to mention this, but the cruise that's happening this Saturday is sold out. But it was can you just tell me just the littlest about it? Like, because it sounded really fun. I want to make everybody jealous that they didn't sign up.
Yeah, so on Saturday, we're having our annual cruise. And we're having it be a birthday party for ADA because it's the 35th anniversary of that being signed. So we're going to have birthday cake and face painting and some wildlife watching as well. But
oh,
it's
going to
be
cool.
A big birthday party on the cruise celebrating the 35th
anniversary. How many people will be on
ADA?
The cruise?
120.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Wow. That's pretty fun. Getting out on the water. I love that.
I bet that might be going to be a packed boat.
It's jam-packed, Fubao.
That's just jam-packed.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about it. Shannon Hendricks, Dylan Anthony, and, of course, Fubao. Sail Inc. has so many programs. There's a lot of stuff going on this summer. The best thing to do is head over to sailinc.org, and you can find out all about the Orca program as well as the mapping. What is it called?
Mapathon.
Mapathon. The Mapathon that's happening at the end of this month. Shannon, Dylan, Fubao, Gwyneth Cheese.
Can I say something?
Yeah, of course.
Don't forget to sign up your youth and with Orca Hangouts, sign up.
Yeah, sign up for the Orca. the online hangout. Yeah, absolutely. You can do that as well. Gwyneth Cheese for being here. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you all.
Thank you.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You, Boston.
Okay, up next, this week's Our Living Lands from Native Voice One. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez. For generations, Indigenous people have been fighting colonization and climate change to protect their culture. Our Living Lands producer Daniel Spalding spoke to Stella Samaripa, a Nimiipuu language teacher, about her efforts to bring Dog Bang back to Nez Perce lands.
Could you share a little bit about your project and how you blended ancestral knowledge in your project to restore Kemu, or Indian dogbane, habitats?
So we live in Kamyai, Idaho, and that actually is derived from our language, which is Kamyakpa, and that is like the gathering site, or it loosely translates to that as being the gathering site of Indian dogbane, or Kemu. And I started to like really get encompassed by that and entranced because, you know, like here we are living in this world that our ancestors fought so hard to live in. Each and every plant around you, whether it be like the grass, tsiktsik, or lotus, right, being a flower, every single plant had a name. And it was that name was used for generations upon generations, time immemorial. And when we stop naming our plants and speaking to them, we start losing them. And that's exactly what happened here. And then I started talking to Sylvia Arquise with Northwest Indian College, and she was like, you can make this into a project, Stella. You can create a map all on your own. So she taught me GIS and how to actually pinpoint each place and create a map. And it was amazing to be able to understand what we as Nimiipuu or even as tribal people are capable of and how we can change our perspectives and we can use this technology for our benefit and for restoring our science.
Could you explain the cultural importance of Kemu within the Nimiipuu community? How does its restoration impact cultural practices?
I think learning about Kemu has really reawakened my knowledge, the power of gaining back our knowledge. You know, when we gain back what we lost, it feels right. It feels like we're, I guess, getting rid of a burden, you know, the burden of not knowing. We have this piece of a whole puzzle that we lost, and now we need to bring back and remake that piece so that we can have that whole outlook of being Nimiipuu.
As an Nez Perce language teacher, how do you see the connection between language revitalization and environmental restoration? Do these efforts complement each other in the work that you do?
I think they have a lot of connection. When we had our language and we were so fluent in that language, the plants, the lands, the animals, everything around us could hear us speak that language. And so when they were hearing us and they were listening to us, you know, they also had to have that connection with us in our language too. And you're starting to feel, again, that connection. And especially with like our language, you know, it's alive. And when we have so little of it, sure, it probably feels weak. Well, how can we strengthen that? And that's what we need to do, you know, like just everyday things.
In your research, how did traditional harvesting practices influence the restoration methods of Kemu?
We try to utilize every single piece of that plant. But what do we do with the things that we don't use from that plant? Well, traditionally speaking, we bring it back to the earth. And so when we're bringing back those pieces of the plant back into the soil, it's actually regaining its strength through the soil again, and it replenishes itself, so to speak. And then it starts to gain momentum in creating more populations. And that was what our ancestors knew. We treat it as a kinship, as being a relative for us. And how would you treat your child? How would you treat your grandchild? Or how would you treat your grandmother or your grandfather? Do they take care of us? So we need to take care of them.
Is there anything else that you would like to share about what Kemu teaches us about resilience, restoration, or just the future of indigenous science?
I think there's a lot of resilience in our plants. Kemu was put on the noxious weeds list for, you know, decades, right? It was meant to be completely exterminated. And here it is, still finding its way back to us. And, you know, that resilience is the same way with us, right? We have been near genocide, and we were supposed to be exterminated. And here we are, still alive. We're still talking to each other, you know, and the connection is there. We just need to find that again.
Tune in next week for more stories about how climate change affects tribal communities. I'm Antonia Gonzalez for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kuwanic Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Hanson Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, where Kashuk are ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin talk anachaya ha anikach, gunish cheese.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The annual Superplant Sale began about 40 years ago in a Juno Garden Club member's yard, and it has morphed into a coordinated sale with all the Juno Garden groups hosting, and they rotate putting on this event. And this year's host is the Juno Community Garden. And I'm joined now by Cynthia Krabel, who is from the Juno Community Garden. Thank you so much, Cynthia, for coming in and being here for the Superplant Sale. Wasiati, how are you today?
Doing great. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, so we were talking about this because the Superplant Sale is an annual event, right? And it's made up of a variety of organizations. How many organizations make up the groups who put on the Superplant Sale?
We have six.
Six, okay. Mm-hmm. Can you name them all for me? Do you know them all? I hate to put you on the spot.
I could name half of them, but they are the main ones. The Jensen Olson Arboretum.
Okay.
Juno Garden Club, Master Gardeners.
Master Gardeners, right,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Southeast Co-op.
Okay.
I know I'm missing one or two. But
that's okay. Yeah. That's okay.
That
it's all
type
good.
Of group.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of group, and each year it rotates. But what is the Superplant Sale? I guess I want to know what that is. So we have the groups who are putting it on, but then what is the Superplant Sale?
It is everything gardening. So we're talking plants, of course, but also garden art and ceramic pots and tickets that some of the organizations are selling to garden-related events.
Like tours and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Ones that you know, Garden Tour.
Okay.
And then also the Primrose Society.
Oh, that's coming up.
That's coming up, right. Yeah, yeah. You know about it.
Yeah, they were on the show talking about that. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, the Primrose Society convention is in Juneau
this year. Yeah, it's a big deal. So if anyone is interested in getting tickets, they'll be selling those this Saturday.
I find it fascinating that Juno has such an obsession with gardening. Do you recognize that, or is it just, I mean, because I have there's a lot of gardening here, and I know we're in a rainforest, so obviously things happen like that, but it also seems so challenging to garden here.
It is, but you know, it's in my blood. Both of my grandmothers, one was born here, one lived most of her life here, and they were amazing gardeners. So it's so common for me. I just think, well, of course, everyone gardens.
It's just in your blood.
But maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe the challenge.
The challenge. And what are the things that you personally like to grow?
We love the carrots at the Juno Community Garden. Oh, they taste like a carrot should taste, but also potatoes and garlic. And they do so well.
Tell me about the Juno Community Garden, like that group. What is the focus of that group? Besides gardening, of course.
We have over 200 members, and so we have a large group of people growing in a great environment out by the glacier. And we produce a lot of food. And some of those plots provide food for organizations, nonprofit organizations in town. So
is the Juno Community Garden where you can apply and you get a small plot that you can plant whatever you want to plant?
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
I see. All right. And how do people find out more about that if they want to get a plot? Is it a waiting list and stuff?
Our waiting list is pretty low right now. We turn over, are able to get to a lot of people.
Okay.
So you can go on our Juno Community Garden website and apply for a plot. And then we also have an annual Harvest Fest, which is a huge event at the garden. And a lot of people will sign up there. Think it's at the end of the summer, so people thinking about next year.
Yeah, I think you all were around last summer about that.
Yes.
So the Superplant Sale itself is this Saturday.
It is.
It's May 10th. It's from 9 to 12. It's going to be out the way at the Safeway parking lot. And there's 24 local vendors?
I just got one more. I have 25.
25? What kind of vendors are going to be there?
We have people selling their local compost and ceramic pots. Of course, every type of plant you could imagine, including houseplants.
Yeah.
A beautiful art that's handmade that's very popular. And, of course, Montessori School sells their pansies, which everyone looks forward to.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
It's a good good to help them out.
What kind of art do you have in your garden?
I have bird baths.
Mm-hmm.
And a few rabbits, and some handmade glass hangings.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Not really wind chimes, but just beautiful, which I suspect came from one of the vendors.
Right, right, right.
Amazing works of art.
Yeah. So it's nice because it's nice people like to decorate their gardens a little bit with different things. I like it like the little, is it like a ceramic rabbit kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about my home garden, so yeah.
Yeah, they are. Rabbits are amongst the plants.
I love that. And of course, you mentioned that you're also going to be able to get like tickets mm-hmm. and things mm-hmm. like that to various different upcoming events.
Right.
All types of plants will be there.
Yes.
Because if people want to get like their perennials in, you know, if they need more, to plant, mm-hmm. this is a good place to do that, right?
It is. And yeah. annuals and vegetable and shrubs and trees and, as I mentioned, houseplants even. So you'll see a variety.
Oh, and this is a wonderful thing. I mentioned it at the beginning of the show, but the next day happens to be Mother's Day.
Yes.
And so you might be able to, beyond even just like the normal bouquet of flowers, you might be able to put together like a little gardening sort of gift for a mom.
I love that idea. And probably people will have hanging baskets. Those are so popular for mothers.
Oh, hanging baskets. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. And how is this a – I mean, I know this is an annual event. Mm-hmm. Do you know who's up next, like next year, who's responsible?
I don't recall who's next in order.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. It's this Saturday, May 10th, from 9 to 12 p.m. It's going to be out at the Safeway parking lot. Do we know what the weather's going to be?
Oh, I'm sure it'll be beautiful. So speaking of Safeway, I'd like to just add that Safeway donates a portion of the parking lot to us free of charge. So we'd like to be very respectful to them, keeping the area tidy and not using their shopping carts because, you know, they're a grocery store mm-hmm. and they need those.
They need the shopping
carts. For their shoppers, yes.
Yeah, so if you bring your own cart or bring your own bag or something like that.
Yeah, a basket or a box.
And
some of the vendors will have trays, but it's always best if you're thinking quantity to bring your own.
Yeah. Well, it's wonderful because the super plant sale definitely, there's a lot of things that signify spring and summer coming to Juneau, but I think the super plant sale is definitely one of those. It means that we're past all of that other stuff.
I think so too.
The darkness and all of that. Is there anything else that we need to mention about the super plant sale?
One last thing is some vendors are, you know, they're small. They're not businesses. Mm. And they may not take credit cards.
Okay.
So you'll want to bring cash just to be prepared.
I see. And I'm sure if you don't have cash, Safeway probably has an ATM. Or actually, I think the True North is right across the street.
You're
there's
right.
definitely
yeah,
an ATM over there.
Yeah, there's a bank close by.
Yeah, there's a bank close by out there. Yeah. And maybe even the food court area will be open and you can grab lunch.
Oh, I love that idea. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, because the stuff out there is delicious.
I haven't been yet. I've driven by, so Saturday may be my day.
That's your day, Cynthia. That is the place to go. Cynthia Crable from the Juneau Community Garden here to tell us about the Super Plant Sale. It's happening this Saturday, May 10th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's out at the Safeway parking lot. And for more information, there is a Facebook event for the Super Plant Sale, I believe.
There is.
But you can also find Juneau Community Garden online, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, absolutely. Cynthia, thanks so much for being here. Gunath Cheesh, I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, jazz and classic spring concerts continue. Brian Wallach visits to preview his upcoming performance. Plus, NAMI is here with details and information on Mental Health Month. Juneau Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juneau 104.3 and KAUK Juneau Okbe 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JuneauAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support comes from listeners like you and from Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Grass, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Gunnath Cheesh, and have a wonderful Juno evening.